Hi. Welcome back to another episode of Télévision Éducative. Tonight, I'll show you how dreams are prepared. People think it's a very simple and easy process, but it's a bit more complicated than that. As you can see, a very delicate combination of complex ingredients is the key. First, we put in some random thoughts, and then we add a little bit of reminiscences of the day, mixed with some memories from the past. It's for two people. Love, friendships, relationships, and all those ships.
Together with songs you heard during the day, things you saw, and also personal.
Okay.
Okay, I think it's one. There it goes. Yes! Yes. Okay, we have to run.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
I guess this is Douglas again.
Thanks for that, Douglas. Thanks for the energy.
And you know what, guess what?
And this is Damien.
Yes. Everybody will be wondering why I said again.
Right. What, but they'll never
find out. They'll never know.
Right. It's back, it's again for the first time. Mm-hmm. Not really a joke though, no. It was pretty bad.
Right. I thought you guys were going to keep going, so I was just going for a drink at this point.
So does that mean that we have to start over? No? Okay, well then
we're only not starting.
What was that muffled sound a while ago? What's going on here?
Tell us how we need to talk about things. I have things to talk about.
Unprofessional people.
Okay, I will start the conversation by saying that I watched things this week.
No. Are you fired again? What
no.
The hell has happened?
Are
they all TV shows?
When I hear Douglas say I've watched a lot of things, my mind goes to one.
Usually that means he watched five episodes of five different television shows and he talks about them individually.
So listen. I watched a few things this week.
Right.
But there is one extremely important piece of media that has come back into my life.
Right.
And
Harry Potter.
Fuck you.
Hold on, have we all seen Harry Potter?
Nope.
No, you haven't probably.
Okay. I watched.
I'm not going to fight small children to watch
Harry
Potter.
The first episode of the fourth season of Breaking Bad.
What's Breaking Bad?
I'm not there yet. I'm in season three.
Breaking Bad started this Sunday.
I'm going to resist the urge.
Are you not going to watch it?
I'm not watching.
You're not going to. Oh my goodness!
You're abstaining.
Let me tell you why. When I watched the third season, every time I had to stop watching it was because I looked at the clock and went, oh, I'm only going to get 3 hours of sleep today and I have work. Right? I can't watch it week to week. It's too good. And every week I'd be like a crackhead scratching out.
That's exactly what I am right now.
So it's very
this show was it really was back on form. I mean, the thing about it though was that it felt like not much happened in this episode, but that's probably a good thing because I could have sworn it was 10 minutes, all of a sudden the show was done.
Right.
And I'm like, yo, I want more. I need more. The show is great and I can't wait for something crazy to happen, which usually does.
Yes.
which probably kind of already has. But anyway, so.
Did they resurrect my two favorite characters?
No.
Are they
yet.
Back?
Not yet. Oh, you know that they can't resurrect them.
Why not?
You know that they can't.
They're so good.
Almost there. And then we can talk about who these characters are.
You know exactly who these characters are. Anyway.
I'm sure I know who you guys are talking about.
I also watched, just since Andrew's mentioned it already, I saw Harry Potter. It was...
Oh, you saw the second half of the movie.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it was.
It was the
second half of a movie, which annoyed me.
Which is why I'll respect Lord of the Rings forever. Because they gave me three movies, one big story, three complete movies.
Exactly.
These guys just went... We're not going to cut it here.
That's all it was. It was arbitrary. And not only was it an arbitrary cut, but it was an arbitrary cut after 5 hours of unnecessary foolishness.
Yes, there's a lot of walking around and sitting.
Yeah.
And Oh, there's sexual tension between Hermione and Ron. I've never seen this before. This is the first.
And Andrew's seething right now. Okay. Andrew's saying, I really need to talk. I really need to tell Douglas what for.
Look, I'm going to love the movie. I just want to watch the entire movie, not half of one of the movies.
I think that possibly if I watched the whole movie, I wouldn't mind it. I would enjoy it more.
Have you tried to watch part one since seeing it in the theater way back?
You asked me this question, and my answer remains the same. I don't watch bad movies.
But it's technically not a bad movie. It's the first half of what is possibly a good movie.
Before I want to say one thing. I actually will probably watch it again when I am able to actually watch both movies side by side or one after another. But I couldn't do that now, so what's the point?
Yeah, that is my plan. The reason I haven't watched the Harry Potter 8 is because A, it's like packed every single day and I'm not fighting small children to watch that movie. And 2, before I go and watch it, I want to watch the part 1 first. Because there's no way I'm walking into that movie after what, 6-7 months of hating the first half. And then just going blind and what? What am I even watching?
And to tell you the truth, it starts off so abruptly. It's like, right, and we're back.
I know that literally they cut the movie in two. Right? They made one movie and went, we're going to make more money if we do this. Chop. Credits. They shouldn't even put credits. That is disingenuous. No credits should exist for the first half of that movie.
It should be like, check us back in a year.
It should intermission.
Right.
And intermission, then like a countdown for 70 days or whatever it is.
Purchase ticket now.
We accept all forms of payment.
Except Bitcoin.
Yo, how's that doing?
I actually have one of the things running at home right now.
Wait, you have Bitcoin? How did you get something? Did you like sell your online ass or something?
No, it's a program. You just need to know someone that can validate you as a human being or some shit.
Well, no,
and then there's a program that you run.
Right, you have a program, but you have to, in order to have Bitcoin, you have to do something. Like, right. It's not like you just get Bitcoin.
Right, so you farm it. It's like Falling at Home. There's a thing that you run that murders my graphics card.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's a limited amount that can be generated.
Sense. So essentially somebody's using your processing power and they pay for it. Alright, that kind of makes sense.
No, well, you get a coin and then you can sell it back. For real money.
Yeah, well, I know what the coins are. I understand that.
What's the money worth?
It's like $14.
Right now it's like 20 cents. Before it was $20.
They rolled back all of the... Someone hacked the...
Yeah, somebody
the
screwed
trade,
them.
Not
yeah.
the coins itself, the trade.
Yeah.
But they rolled back all of that nonsense. So it's back to about $14.
Oh, $14 okay. per...
Coin.
Coin. Right. And how many coins do you have right now? You have three.
And it took me about 4 days. 5 days. Running it about 12 hours a day. My graphics card is maxed out. It's pretty hilarious. But I have them. I don't think I'm going to do anything with them. I'm just doing it for doing it's sake. Maybe one day if I see it like reach $100, I'll jump. I'm like, no, I'm not giving up. Chance. For free money, guys. Are you crazy?
I see. Anyway, there's one last thing that I watched this week, and that was Greenberg.
Again?
No, I've never watched this movie.
Oh.
I wouldn't make that mistake.
This movie, it's starring people that I like. I like Ben Stiller.
Mm-hmm.
I like Greta Gerwig.
Right.
I love Reese Fiennes. Mm-hmm. It's directed by Noah Baumbach, who I also love, even though Damien has his complaints.
You like Squid and the Whale?
He hates Squid and the Whale.
No, I'm asking you.
Oh, me? I love that movie.
Okay, just checking.
And this movie, I love the soundtrack.
Don't we love Douglas's compliments?
No, well, the thing about this movie, it's very strange. Mm-hmm. It's actually very similar in some ways to the movie we're going to talk about later. It's very much a character study of this one man, this Roger Greenberg, who's played by Ben Stiller, and he is
man in a stretch.
Just to be clear, he's a little bit sorry.
Off.
He's a lot crazy.
Ah.
And he just does things that makes you wonder what is going through your head, sir. And he does them consistently. And at the same time, you've got Greta Gerwig, who is equally as crazy, because though she seems to be a regular person, she puts up with this crazy human being and doesn't try to get rid of him. And I don't get it. And I went through the whole movie just not understanding what was happening. And that's probably a bad thing. It's
you just see through the movie trope that, I mean, two crazy people like this would never find each other because they're both too crazy. And if one of them, Greta Gerwig's character, if she was even a little bit normal as they put her in the movie, she would never.
Yeah.
No normal person would put up with all of this nonsense.
It just doesn't make any sense. For the first half an hour, you're like, alright, that's acceptable. That's cool. I mean, we see the crazy, but you don't see it when he's not around, so you're good. But after a while,
she's fully
exposed
to the craziness, and she's like, I'm going to continue being a manic pixie. It's bad. I don't like that movie at all.
And I want to say it's bad. I mean, it's got all the. It has a list. You can call a list on it.
Yes, but that is. We passed that point, Douglas. When we say it's bad, we don't mean, oh, it looks terrible and the camera was shaking and the director doesn't have a clue what he's doing. I mean, the story is bad. And so the rest of the movie that surrounds that story is also pretty bad. It's not like the acting was bad. It's just a story. It's a terrible story. And that's all those movies hang themselves on. It's the story. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't like Greenberg. Why didn't you watch better movies? I don't understand. Plus, you didn't tell us how you felt about the second Harry Potter. Did you like the second half of the movie? No?
It was the second half of a movie.
Fair enough.
It was alright.
It was just harsh. I think that's my problem.
It was... The movie was okay, but... Like, it seriously felt... whole way through the movie, it felt like the second half of a movie, which...
Don't get me wrong, you know. I love the Harry Potter series. But what they did with the first half of that movie is bullshit. It is a bad... No matter how you try and quantify it, what that first half of the movie is bad. It is bad everything. It's bad storytelling, and it's bad build-up.
Are you saying that I shouldn't even bother to try and quantify it to you?
What, the first half of the movie? No, it's a terrible movie. you can't build up nothing and have no payoff and end a movie. That is not how movies work.
So hold on, I just want to say that
they had a first act
agreement of
and
Damian
ended the movie there.
Damian, and I'd like to hear you try to.
Yeah, please.
And by the way, the word you're looking for is not quantify; it's justified.
Well, he used the word quantify. That's why.
Did I use the word?
Yes,
quantify?
You did.
Sorry. I think we may have said the word quantify before.
Alright, whatever.
I don't know.
And please. Let me hear your defense of the first half of the movie.
I want to first, before we talk about Harry Potter 7, the first half of Harry Potter 7, explain what it is exactly you like about Half-Blood Prince. Because we've all gone on record
that's the number six. Oh, Half-Blood, that's the one where Snape becomes...
It was a complete movie. They told a great story. There was a starting point and there was an end point. And yes, they gave you the to be continued portion, but there was a complete arc in that movie. They told you these things need to happen, and by the end of the movie, those things happened and they led to certain other things happening. In the seventh movie, they went, we need this stick that is the most powerful stick. We're on the way to get the stuff to get the most. And then they're like, no. We call it. That's it. That's. What new happened in 7 that anyone who has been watching the series wouldn't have known? Literally, they told us nothing in that 7 movie. It was slow, it was long, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And then the movie ended.
What I enjoyed about 7, what I call 7.1, right? First of all, throughout all of the Harry Potter movies, and I know this isn't really something to complain about because it's in the title, it's a Harry Potter movie plus 2. You have Harry Potter running up and down and doing shit, which honestly, it's really obvious if you pay attention as opposed to just enjoying the adventure. He doesn't ever know what he's really doing.
Yeah, okay, right? Fair enough.
And he has these two sidekicks running along with him.
Right, Batman and Batman. Nightwing. Hawkman.
7.1 finally made it very clear to anyone who hadn't come to this realization that this child has no fucking clue what he's doing with his time. Right? It gave us insight into the one sidekick that it's never truly given us insight into, which is Hermione. Even though it opens with the shot of her removing memories of her life from her parents, and for the entire movie, I don't think we're ever really in England for more than 2 seconds, other than in Hogwarts world. This movie took entire place in the countryside throughout all of these places which were attached to the character of Hermione, which I found fantastic and a great way to do that.
So a sightseeing? That is what you
enjoyed? No. How many places were attached to Hermione?
There was the London Square where they went after the when they first escaped, when they went after the wedding. There was the
Hold on. How was London Square attached to Hermione?
She said it.
Clearly I don't remember. How was it attached to Hermione?
I remember
the one thing that she said about some woods that she used to go with her parents or something like that.
But almost at every location it went with, yes, my parents used to take me all the time here, and this was a story that started, right, and it became a thing.
Right. And then she cried later on in the movie, and apparently she loves Ron, because I didn't know that. And Ron comes back because he loves her, which again, didn't see any of that coming. And then the movie kind of ended.
I think...
No, Voldemort shot a light in the air like Tron.
I think that the first half of 7, while I'm not calling it the greatest movie ever, or comparing it to Lord of the Rings...
I'm not even going to call it a movie.
Lord of the Rings. I think it didn't do any less than like part 1 of Lord of the Rings, at the end of part 1 of Lord of the Rings, they look back over the mountain and they go, shit, we have more walking to do.
But Lord of the Rings had a full, as Damian said, had a full story arc.
In all 3 movies.
Each of them. I mean, yes, they kind of pointed towards the fact that we have done this, and now, you know, we're still, as you say, you know, we still have more things to do. But you felt, in the end, you felt fulfilled. You felt like you had watched one whole story, seen it the whole way through. Maybe I shouldn't say whole story, but one definable piece of a story that worked by itself and then could be kind of amalgamated into a whole, which is what happened with...
It's the reason everybody hated together. The second Pirates movie. The first Pirates movie was an action romp, and they said, alright, we're going to make some more. And everybody was okay with that. But at the end of the second Pirates movie, they ended that movie and he went, hold on, what? What is... you're making a third one. So they didn't give you anything close to a complete story, anything fulfilling at all. They just ended the movie and then they said, see you over there, we're making another one over there. And you can't do that. I'm not giving them a pass. I don't care how much people love Harry Potter. You cannot.
I know
you love it, right? And I know that is what is clouding your judgment. Everybody who's tried to defend it, they go, well, you know, I like spending time with the characters, and it showed me this, and it showed me that. But what it didn't do was behave like a movie. They had a first act. They said, this is the setup for what is going to happen. And then they ended the movie. And what they did it to try and trick people into going along with it is have that little imp thing die. But when what's her face threw the sword at him, right? Stabbed him, he died, they buried him. And they're like, oh, see, there, something happened at the end here, guys. Now see you in 6 months. And I'm not giving anybody a pass with that movie. Nobody can tell me that I show you a first act of a movie, call it a day, and go, guys, didn't you like it? No, actually I didn't. No. Andrew, take off your bias goggles. I know you like the characters, but what they need to apologize to fans, because that is a dick move, right? It's Harry Potter. If they wanted to show a 4-hour movie, it would still make the same amount of money it made. No one is going to go, I'm not going to go and watch a 4-hour Harry Potter movie. What are you guys, crazy people? No one is going to sell it. Right? People sat down for 4 hours to watch Lord of the Rings, and that made trillions of dollars. So I don't agree with that move at all. Warner Brothers, dick move. Dick move.
Also, I'd like to add, fuck 3D.
Well, just saying. Yeah, we already went down this road many, many times. God, it's too late, dog. It's too late.
Anyways, skip that.
What if Dark Knight is in 3D? Dark Knight 2.
I think that would kill back. People. Damon, what did you see this week?
Alright. So, Andrew, a couple weeks ago, told an egregious lie about enjoying Drive Angry because it is a fun action movie.
I started to watch that movie and stopped.
That movie is horrendous. There is, however, one redeeming factor. Is that in Red, there's a scene where...
the car scene?
Yes, the car scene. Oh. Where he absolutely throws physics away and walks out of the car and continues to shoot. They have one-upped that in Drive Angry. And the scene, while stupid, is amazing. But it is justifiable because the guy's from hell. Of course, he can do all of that. But the rest, the movie's just bad.
What scene are you talking about specifically? All right.
So there's a propane. There's a truck that is carrying propane. And he skids the truck. And it's going into a barrier with police, right? But he hits another car, so there's two cars going, and he literally opens the door and walks out onto the top of the other car and allows the propane truck to go down. Blow it up. And he's like, adjusting his tires while the car is kidding with him. It's so stupid. It is amazing, but everything else, nothing good came out of that movie. Oh my, Amber Heard, if she wanted me to respect her as an actress, she's just lost that war. I'll never see anything that she's in and think that she's good in it, because I'll always remember Drive Angry. And Nicolas Cage burned all his cred years after knowing I was done with him after that. So yeah, Andrew's wrong. That movie's terrible and no one should ever see it. I saw Cristiano Ronaldo's new movie. Gael Garcia Bernal's new movie. Even the Rain.
Even the Rain, okay. Right. I don't
know. Where he goes to Ecuador to do a movie about when the Spanish invaded. And while he's there, there is an uprising in the country that is preventing him from continuing the movie. The countrymen are complaining that there's a international water company that is taking away their water, and so they're fighting to get back their water, and it is in direct conflict with his movie. And the movie is really good. Bernal is the producer, and there's this other Spanish guy that I've never seen before. I looked him up, and
it's not Diego Luna, is it?
I think it is.
I love those guys have like this partnership going.
Yeah,
they're in Rudo y Cursi, which I've started to watch but haven't finished. Itu Mama Tambien, which right. I love, and I guess this movie as well now. Right.
And so they're the director and the producer, and the chemistry between them is off the charts. They're really, really good actors, and all the other actors in the movie, it's essentially a movie about making a movie, and then they're showing you scenes from the movie that they're making, while at the same time there's kind of this documentary type feeling when they're talking about the uprising, about bringing down the government on the water. And it's just fascinating, and I think anybody who gets the chance to see it should really sit down and watch this movie. Last week you guys talked about 13 Assassins. I wasn't here because I fell asleep, and the people who I had asked kindly to wait me failed to do so. That movie, how can I put this? Alright. So, I have a few problems with the movie. The bad guy, he is comically bad. He's like Mumra type bad. There is literally no redeeming qualities about him. And I mean, I don't like to say they try too hard to make him seem evil. If they had just told me that he's evil, I'd have believed them. Right? But all the shit that he does, and there's no justification at all. It's not like, oh, I'm trying to unite all these people. He's just an evil dude. And
he thinks it's exciting.
Alright. Then, like, halfway through the movie, they find this wild man in the bushes. And again, I think they overreach a little bit with him. His character makes no sense. I know he's supposed to be a foil and comedic.
He's the Mifune of the 13.
Right. But it feels... Alright, I'm going to stop lying now. I love every part of this movie. This movie is amazing. It's so good.
I knew you would.
It's so good.
And you know why you like it? Because there's action in it. That's the only reason.
The director, Takashi Miike, I like his style. I like even though the last movie I saw from him I wasn't a big fan of, this movie, because he does horror movies most of all. I think the last two movies he did were horror movies, but even in this one you got a sense of his horror movie sensibilities when they show that girl who, right, and he's very good at building tension. He's also clearly very good at action, which I didn't see. I mean, when people tell you that there is a 50-minute action scene at the end of a movie, you go, I'd like to see that.
I don't know what you're talking about, building tension. I hope you were not referring to the first hour of the film as building tension.
And that is exactly what I'm referring to.
No, it was not. Yeah, no, the first hour was boring is not quite strong enough for the first hour of that film. The first hour of that film is disgustingly bad.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. And just see all of my comments and Ryan's comments from last week.
That's fine. I'll listen to them whenever someone puts up the podcast. If ever someone puts up the podcast.
If ever. Just for fun.
Son of a bitch. I've read all the negative views on this movie. And part of what I love about watching these strange movies and listening to critics is feeling better about myself knowing that critics don't like a movie that I love. When I read bad comments about I Saw the Devil, it's comic and nothing happens, and I was so happy because I'm still a normal person. I haven't crossed over to the dark side
it's not that. It's not you are a film asshole. With that. What it is that you're better than those people.
Right, I am better than this. And I'm better than you for liking 13 Assassins. Because that movie is awesome.
It's one of the best movies I've seen this year.
So good. It is so good. Alright, I enjoyed pretty much every second of that movie. So much so that I watched that movie about 3 times in the past week. I love it. I can't. It is so good. As soon as Amazon sent that Blu-ray, it was on. Let's go. Let's go again. Let's go again. Sister came in. Didn't you watch this movie already?
Yes. Do you want to watch it with me now?
No, she didn't. I watched 300 after that. It's awesome, but I'm not going to talk about 300. Alright, I saw Peep World, which...
I have that, and that's on my list to watch.
Which is mediocre, but still fun. There's a lot of fun performances, and...
Michael C. Hall.
Yes, he's amazing in it, as he is in...
Is Sarah Silverman anywhere near enjoyable in that movie?
Yes.
Because I find she can be annoying in movies.
But she doesn't play her typical role. She plays Paris Hilton. And you can she plays a parody of her, and she does it so well that you cannot help but laugh at how ridiculous she is. And I mean, the movie, it's a pretty straightforward story. One of the brothers writes a book about the family, and the book is popular, and so they all hate him, but it turns out one thing can bring them together, their father, and one thing will galvanize them together is their mutual hatred of their father, because their father is the world's largest asshole. And he almost dies in the end, and the family realizes, oh, we still love each other. And it's pretty run of the mill. Anyone who wants something light to watch can watch it. It's not offensive anyway. Not like Red Riding Hood, which I started to watch. Saw a wolf and went, no. Nah. I just left my two sisters in there. I saw what can't be more than 15 minutes of this movie, and I'm just going to go ahead and generalize. No one on earth should watch this movie. No, I haven't seen all of Twilight, so I can't give a good comparison.
Have you seen 15 minutes worth
right.
of Twilight?
So comparing the 15 minutes of Twilight to the 15 minutes of Red Riding Hood, I'd have to assume Red Riding Hood is better, which is probably the saddest thing I've ever said in all of my life. Horrendous.
No, so you're saying no one sparkled in Red Riding Hood?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It was... as bad, maybe a little better, but there was no sparkles, so I guess. Plus, there wasn't any girl staring blankly into the camera waiting for me to smack her in the face. Does she act at any point in the Twilight movies? No,
she doesn't.
That's just that blank stare.
There's either the blank stare or she's running towards him.
Ah, fair enough.
Alright, so this week, I saw a few really interesting things.
I should write these things down.
The first thing I want to talk about is I rewatched Blade Runner.
Okay, I have a quick question, because I can see our list and it says Blade Runner Final Cut. How do I know which one that is? Because I know there are about 3 or 4 different versions of this movie released.
David's already gone because I know he fucking hates Blade Runner.
Because I watched that movie recently as well, but
the final cut is the real director's cut.
Yeah, because I know that there was a director's cut that went out that actually had nothing to do with.
I did a little bit of reading about this whole history of the cuts of the film.
Yeah.
In that there was the theatrical release, which Ridley Scott approved, and then there's a director's cut which came out shortly after, which he had nothing to do with. And then years down the line, he fixed the director's cut. So what is now called the director's cut is really his director's cut. But there's also the final cut where he added in a few more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I also saw Henry's Crime. Now I remember. Vera Farmiga and Neo from The Matrix is pretty alright.
Okay, cool.
Right, so... I love Blade Runner.
So how would I know which one's the final cut that I have seen?
Because you would have put in that Blu-ray disc out of your 5 discs.
I can't remember which one I put in.
It's a minute longer than the director's cut. I mean, it's been forever since I've seen Blade Runner, so this is like watching it fresh for me, and I still love it so much. Harrison Ford is fantastic. I love the sci-fi, noir, futuristic. I love the vibe of the movie. It's just pretty and lovely. And it's a great detective movie.
I don't know if pretty is a word I would use for this movie.
Apparently you haven't seen it in HD. I'm sorry, that movie really is pretty. Like, there are certain movies that no matter how dark a scene ends up being, it still remains pretty. And I think one of them that you can look at is Rango, that came out earlier this year. Because Rango, like, literally, I didn't know something could be that dirty and pretty at the same time.
That movie's not dirty.
That's racist.
Actually, it's probably racist to say that it is dirty.
That's also racist.
Another movie I saw this week was, I watched Joint Security Aerial, which I don't know if either of you guys have seen this movie. It's another movie by Park Chan-wook, which is about an incident which occurs on the border of North and South Korea.
Oh, I've heard about this movie.
And about the investigation that goes in by the neutrals trying to find out what really happened. And it's a really interesting detective story. It's well put together. And
Law
like
and Order
all...
Korea?
Hmm?
Law and Order Korea?
No, no, it pretty much is Law and Order Korea. And the truth behind the story, I find, is very realistic and very enjoyable. Like, alright, I shouldn't say realistic because...
No,
I
you
don't...
shouldn't say the truth behind the story. That is the part that Douglas
Andrew,
is having issue.
Andrew, no, it's not even really that, you know. If you said the truth behind the story is and continue right. to say what the truth was, it'll make sense. But the truth behind the story is
realistic.
I would hope so. Because if the truth is not real, then what is the truth? Is it fake? What? He does have fake stories.
Are we in the
this
Matrix?
Is true.
That is the question that needs to be answered.
One day, Andrew will learn how to speak. One day.
I'm beginning to believe that less and less.
I think what was better is the truth is something that I wish could be real. And...
By the truth, do you mean what ended up happening in the movie?
Yes.
That was fictional?
Yes.
Okay.
The truth.
The truth.
I totally feel like you're my friends.
How about dictionary? It's almost word for word.
Yep, good movie, watch it. But I think the most, the monumental film that I got to watch this week, and I'm sure everyone in this country will be seen very soon,
HP8
is Get a Life. And if you guys have never heard of this movie listening
oh,
to this podcast, it's because you don't live in Jamaica. It's the new local production.
Oh,
directed by
actually,
Chris Brown.
Wait. No, before you get into it, right, I want to say that this movie is actually going to go international. It's playing at TIFF, which hopefully you will be at. It's playing well at some sort of Trinidad film festival, but it also played at Cannes.
I don't think it played at Cannes. I think
it won awards at Cannes
for the
so
script.
It would have to play
for the script.
Oh, it won for the script.
It won for the script. So I don't think it actually played. I think they
okay.
sent the script right. and it won an award.
Okay.
We have to double check that.
Fair
part.
Enough.
So officially, Noah can take that Cannes thing off the list of shit that I look for in trailers.
Oh, you were at Cannes.
All right. Minus one.
No, but this was like a special screening that I got invited to through
of course it
friends
is.
That were have something to do with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't think we're going to talk about the movie because regardless
not?
Of what I say, you
why?
Guys not going to take it seriously.
No, no, I'd
no,
like
no,
to hear,
I want
I
to hear.
Want to hear what
I
want to say.
I need to know that Jamaica can produce fine cinema. I have to believe that.
Can approve
film writing quality cinema.
Right. When you break down what happens in the movie,
mm-hmm.
and you look at the real story and the themes
and
the ideas
stories,
behind it,
right?
It's a good idea. The execution is ridiculous and stupid.
Andrew, I have a brush here. I'm going to throw towards your head if you fail to. Andrew Robinson.
Yes, sir.
You're going to tell me that you prefaced all of what you just said by, you guys aren't going to take me seriously anyway, right? And then you went on to say, in theory, this movie could have been good. But this movie, that what is there, it isn't good. But what is behind it, Andrew, what is wrong with you? Is the movie good? Taking back up the brush. Andrew Robinson. I'll ask you again. Is this movie good?
Is this movie good?
It is not a trick question. This isn't riddles.
I will answer. I will rephrase your question to mean, did I enjoy this
movie? No. Mm-mm. That is not what I asked you. It is very simple.
Okay, the first question. So I'm going to break down your question into two parts. Okay? The first part of the good question is, Andrew, would you say that you are able to take out the list and check all the items for this film?
I can check some of the items.
Okay.
All right. Would you say that directing is one of those items?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's a good start.
Okay.
How about acting?
Fuck no.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm just going to assume dialogue goes out with acting.
How about dialogue?
No, we're throwing that away with the acting.
Dialogue.
Writing, what do you think?
You cannot tell me that there's poor acting and great dialogue, Andrew.
No, hold on.
No such thing exists in the world.
I'm not saying there is. However, I feel a little biased towards it.
I need something sharp.
No, because have you ever watched some of these local films and just felt like you want to laugh at it because you are Jamaican and you know what the real version
is? No, I don't watch local films because I'm not on Suicide Watch.
I'm just going to speed up this conversation and just translate for Andrew and say no.
Oh, the movie's terrible.
So how about the cinematography, the camera work?
It was really good. They actually shot the film on the red camera and it looked really good.
Yes. So what about, there was another item that I've missed out that I wanted to...
Is Liam Neeson in the movie? Is that the item?
Is Liam Neeson in this movie?
No, he's not.
Oh my goodness.
Right.
Is the music good?
But what about story?
Story, as I said, the story has a good idea behind it, and it's...
Okay, no. Long story short, no, he can't take that one. So, therefore, based on the fact that we've got maybe two and a half out of five.
40%.
Is that a good movie?
No.
Okay, no, I have a story to tell you, Damian.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell it?
Okay, you can tell it.
Alright, thank you, because I hate when you do that. You know I hate when you do that. What I think was the funniest part of this movie for me was when it was over.
Okay.
Because I was at a special screening, the director was there, the producers were there, and everyone was there. They started to open up the floor to comments and questions about the movie, to which, when I looked around the cinema, it looked like I was the only person there under the age of 30.
Alright.
And I don't know if you've spent a lot of time with older Jamaicans, mainly educated Jamaicans, but...
I try not to, but sure.
They tend to have a sort of idea as to what younger people know about the country.
Right.
And about inner city life and all of this hardship that goes on, to which they all comment in the theater, everyone in Jamaica needs to watch this movie, which really isn't necessary at all, because I remember one day we were having an argument about the purpose of movies and art, and while I don't 100% agree with you, I think this is a really good benchmark to hit, that a movie really needs to entertain or educate. So they want everyone in Jamaica to watch this movie so it can educate them about what inner city life is like, or what we should be doing to resolve the garrison community phenomenon that occurs in Jamaica. But the movie...
Something like a phenomenon. No, keep going.
But the movie never... The movie never answers that question as to what people should be doing to end the garrison phenomenon. and that's why the movie fails. Yes, Douglas, you find the word phenomenon very funny. Why is it any time I talk, there's one word which you just find funny?
We're terrible. You've never met us. This is the first time we're doing this.
You just start snickering for no fucking reason.
You've met us before, right? We're terrible people. Thought we made this clear.
And it just became literally a circle jerk in the theater.
Right, no, that is why they invited these people. They are people who don't have the balls, let's say, to burn any bridges. They want to stay in the circle. So no matter what hardship they put up on the screen, they'd have said, yes, this is terrific.
Also, I think my family finds it quite hilarious that I might have told the director that his movie is shit.
That is why they don't invite me.
Because I was talking to my friend who invited me, who is actually the producer.
Right.
And I was being quite honest with him, because he knows me. He knows that what I write about generally and how I write about film and my general views on film. And I was being honest with him. And the director started to walk over. And immediately I started to tell myself, maybe I should hush up and not let this man...
I'm glad I don't have that problem. I mean, my story isn't similar to yours, but I went to an art house opening or whatever the hell that is with my aunt and other high society people, I'm going to call them.
From St. Andrew.
Right, from...
St. Andrew.
Yeah, Ligonier. and I went in there and... As I want to do, I started berating all the shit that I didn't like. And there were people there who... I was enjoying myself because I was beside my aunt and she was also enjoying walking around laughing at all this nonsense that they were calling at. And then someone took it upon themselves to come and educate us, because that is what they believe. If you don't like things that you're supposed to like, it's because... You don't know, you don't have the education, right? You need to learn these things, right? So that you can be better. And I found it funny that I was essentially telling this grown woman that had... she probably had 19 letters behind her name. That one of the good things about art is that it is subjective. So that just because you like something doesn't mean that everybody else is going to like it. And two, lack of education isn't what the issue is. This is shit. Right? You can't make a bird nest, call it the earth, and I am going to be wowed by the fact that you glued sticks together. Are you crazy? This is nonsense. Oh, he made a shoe? Oh, that is awesome. Hard life? Oh, a dirty shoe. Genius. Move away from it. It's just, look, if something is bad... And I have to learn the goodness, then it is still bad. If I have to be forced to learn something else that has nothing to do with this to appreciate something, most of the time it's not worth it. Right?
So I have a quick comment. Just to let everybody know that we have officially spent an hour and 15 minutes talking about what we watched.
According to my recording, it's under
50
minutes.
Whatever. 1 hour and 15 minutes, that's what I'm going to go by.
Good work.
So, trailers. In 5 words or less.
All right.
John Carto.
Where am I? My body is a cage that keeps me from dancing with the one I love.
Our world is dying. Fate has brought you here, John.
My mind holds the key.
Wished it was God of War. So close. They're so close.
That's six.
Alright. Damn it. Douglas.
White man, pretty graphics. Disney.
Not enough. I might like.
Andrew Stanton did Wall-E. Yes.
Wall-E is two words.
No, I call it as one.
Jesus. God of War is one word.
Okay.
Wow. No, seriously. John Carter's trailer looks beautiful.
The thing about this trailer is it's a teaser.
Yeah.
And so it's not showing me enough. And I'm not certain if I like it based on what I've seen. I mean, as you guys say, it looks like it's going to be pretty.
I don't like his character, though. But, I don't like what he's wearing. He looks really stupid.
Yeah, that looks kind of odd. And it, you know what it strikes me as? This trailer gives off the feeling, and you guys can correct me if you think I'm wrong, and I know you will. It gives off the feeling that this guy's uncle really has died, and he's writing a book about his uncle going to Mars to keep his spirit alive, and that's going to be the movie. And that kind of looks that's the sort of thing that I would not put past Disney.
I don't understand all the tribal like references. What is all that tribal art? I don't get that. Where the hell did that come from? Are they exploiting
from Mars?
Indian culture again?
Did you not know that there's tribal art on Mars?
The question is Mars versus Pandora.
No, anything beats Pandora.
That is no. The movie that was on Pandora is terrible.
Yeah.
Pandora itself is beautiful.
Oh my goodness. But it's only beautiful in 3D. I don't think I could actually watch that movie in 2D.
I tried watching it. That movie is too bad. It's bad.
I sat down and watched it and I agreed.
The story is bad. The story is so bad. I keep wanting to come back out. But then I remember, as soon as they get onto the Pandora place and they start talking, I'm out.
Before that, at least, there was like...
When they're on the ship and they're rolling it in and he can see all the pretty pictures and like, okay, I'm on board. And then some words in start to talk and the general starts to give his speech and I'm like, right, I remember now why I don't like this movie. They talk. But if you hit mute and fast forward, that is beautiful. A beautiful movie.
So the other trailer this week that we want to talk about is Contagion, the new Soderbergh film starring Matt Damon, Marion Cotillard, Kate Winslet, Lawrence Fishburne, etc., etc., etc.
It was a groundbreaking ceremony for a new factory.
Did she mention seeing anyone who was sick? Anyone on a plane? The airport?
No, she said she was jet lagged.
The average person touches their face 3 to 5 times every waking minute. In between, we're touching doorknobs, water fountains, and each other.
Beth! Mom? No, go up to your room, honey.
So we have a virus with no treatment protocol and no vaccine at this time.
You had a seizure this morning, Beth.
She had a history of seizures.
No.
Allergies.
I love Soderbergh. Do you, Douglas?
I love Soderbergh. That's three. You need two more.
Oh, wait. We're still doing the fiber thing.
I love Soderbergh.
Soderbergh.
Must watch.
Soderbergh. The birds are doing it. No. I went too far.
Birds are doing it. All right.
The bees are doing it.
Okay. So let's see. Contagion. Matt Damon is not enough.
Wow, but don't just finally give up on the Matt Damon role.
Probably watch Hereafter.
He did.
Yeah, I didn't give up on the Matt Damon.
I think he also saw Jude Law in the trailer and went like,
Girlfriend experience. Soderbergh lost me.
Have you seen Bubble, by the way?
Nope.
Okay, because if you're giving up on girlfriend experience, like, Bubble would totally throw you out the window.
I'm still going to watch it, though. I still respect him as a director. He's still a making bad decisions.
I so do love that line that Lawrence Fishburne gives. And the guy asks him, are they weaponizing the bird flu? He says, no, the birds are doing that. We don't need to do that.
So this is what's going to happen when the bird flu hits? I mean, we're in Jamaica, so we're safe. These things only attack major cities in the world. So what, you mean, if you're in the Caribbean, I've never seen a movie where there's any red mark over the Caribbean. Like the whole of USA is in red.
Rio de Janeiro.
Argentina is in red.
Brazil might get hit.
Yeah, Argentina and Brazil in red. The whole of Europe. China. All the Caribbean countries, fine. So birds don't live here, right? When was the last time you saw a bird?
A long time ago.
Exactly. We've got rid of the bird menace.
I think it was flying away, to tell you the truth.
Tired of the gunshot, and can't deal with it. That's it? Two trailers?
Yes, thank God.
That's it.
Next.
I mean, we could talk about Dark Knight, but I already know what we're going to say.
We could
talk
about the trailer with Bow Wolf.
As individuals, that there's no one on the planet like them. This thought motivates them to get out of bed, eat food, and walk around like nothing's wrong. My name is Oliver Tate. I suppose it's a bit of an affectation, but I often wish there was a film crew following my every move. So I made a documentary about a prominent thinker who struggled with unspeakable loss. I've tried smoking a pipe, flipping coins. I've even had a brief art phase, but nothing stuck.
When Roger Ebert talked about this film, he said, "Submarine isn't an insipid teen sex comedy. It flaunts some stylistic devices such as titles and selections and self-narration, but it doesn't try too hard to be desperately clever." When we saw this trailer a couple of months back, when it was going to be playing in the festivals and all sorts of stuff, we, at least Douglas and I, immediately grabbed onto it and went as what to, like I like to call in debate. The question we all have to ask ourselves at this point is, when we were caught, did it surprise us or satisfy us?
Well, I can tell you it surprised us. It surprised me.
Satisfy us for the hour and a half that this movie tries to grab you and show this romantic relationship between Oliver and Giordano.
Well, this movie is not just about them, it's actually about the two couples. It's about, as you say, Oliver Pratt and Giordano, but also Oliver's parents, who are going through a rough time, as can be shown by the fact that they no longer ever turn their light down halfway. Which apparently means that they have sex.
Everyone dims their lights when they have
Oliver's
sex.
World.
I don't want to see any of that.
This movie tries very hard to be quirky. It tries very...
I don't know where Ebert saw them not trying hard.
It tries very hard to be different. As Ebert says, it has the narration. It's split up into chapters.
It could use a better soundtrack.
Damn, you asshole.
I like the soundtrack.
We all know you love that soundtrack.
This movie is, as I said before, it's actually, I think, quite similar to Greenberg in the sense that after a while it doesn't, but at least for the first for the first half of the movie it focuses a lot on Oliver, to the extent where I was almost certain that this movie was just going to be him, you know, a character study of him, who he is, how weird he is, and how he gets by socially and otherwise. And it turned out to be a little bit different. It still focused on him, but it kind of broadened a little bit to include other people, to include specifically his parents and their flagging relationship, and how they deal with that. This movie is one of those where there's no question. All of the items on the list are immediately tickable. Damon is looking at me with a question mark on his face, like, what? But this movie, what it is it really tries much too hard. And as you progress further and further into the film, you find yourself asking yourself the same question a little bit too frequently. And that question is, what exactly is going on? And what exactly is going through this child's head? Not just him, but actually his girlfriend Jordana is kind of crazy as well. And it's... I don't know, I don't want to say that it's a bad movie, because it's not, but it was not... It didn't entertain me the way I wanted it to. It didn't fulfill that Gondry Gilliam-esque quota that I wanted it to.
We haven't brought out the Gilliam moment before.
I know, we have not. But all in all, I guess this movie was a little bit less than average.
You know what I think my biggest fear watching this movie is, that someone out there who is... I mean, I don't believe anyone out there can be the equivalent of Oliver Tate. But
oh,
someone,
Tate, sorry. I said wrong. I said Pratt first.
Pratt, well...
it is Tate.
It is Tate, yeah.
Oliver Pratt's on that, though. Right?
I don't know.
Yes, he is.
Fat white
right.
guy.
Mm-hmm. No, yes.
Someone out there who...
Pretty sure it is Pratt.
Who is kind of like Oliver, you know? Is that quirky guy from high school who no one thinks anything of when he's just there.
Oh, like Andrew Robinson.
Yeah, kind of like Andrew Robinson.
Nah.
We'll watch this movie and think, this is what should happen to me. This is what love should be for me. That's my biggest fear watching this movie, that someone will see that and think that. But Damien, what did you think of this movie?
Wait, so why you set up all of that and then ask me,
Is there something random?
Was I that person? Is that what you're saying? You can let me know. No. I'm an adult. I can take it. Right? Was I the quirky one in high school?
You won't accept it.
You're a dick. My major problem with this movie, because there's a lot of things that I do enjoy about the movie, except the soundtrack, is that Oliver switches from, in his narration, he has all this knowledge about himself and about the situation. But then when he is actually going out there and doing things, it is clear that he's still a child. The fact that he thinks that the neighbors are ninjas, like stuff like that, gives you hints into, you know, the childlike nature of his mind. But then you see where he's... like when he was trying to get what's the girl's name again?
Jordana.
And he accidentally let the fat girl fall into the water. He had enough perspective to know that, you know, this might come back and hurt him. And the narrator was telling you, well, you know, because he did this, there's this whole chain of events that he'll need to do in order to, you know, soften the blow. And he wrote her a letter and all these things. But then when he actually handed the lady the letter and Jordana saw him, he ran away, which again shows you that he's still a child and he still has all these misconceptions about what happens in real life, so to speak. And so there was this disparity between the narrator and what the narrator was saying and him. But my major problem was, none of these people felt like they were grounded in any sort of reality. The parents were weird, to put it mildly.
And that's where Jordana's parents, actually. Right. But then, I mean, you have...
By that point, by the time you met Jordana's parents, you were either on board with the weirdness or not. Weren't. Sadly, I was not. And
you know what I liked about this movie? Every once in a while, there was, like, a little funny moment. Not necessarily laugh out loud funny, but, like, for example... So there's a point where Oliver's mom goes to some sort of religious thing, and he says in his narration, I could see her going to dad and saying that, you know, there's something to it, whatever, whatever. And then maybe 5 minutes later, she goes to his father and says exactly the same line that he said in his head. And there's another moment, but for some reason I can't remember that. Actually, I really laughed out loud for that one. But.
I expected more from the movie. The structure of the relationship, the things that happened while they were in a relationship, are run-of-the-mill things. We see that in every movie. And so you'd think that the stylistic flares that they would have thrown on top of it would have been enough. But it just wasn't. They were so weird. A lot of the time it became off-putting. None of the things that they were saying and doing didn't feel grounded in anything. It wasn't like they gave us a build-up and said, well, this is how these people are. And so, because of that, these things happen. Random shit tends to happen. And then he narrates on top of it and go and tries to give you some justification for it. And then... And especially at the end, that last shot when she's standing on the beach. How? Why? yes, it happened. And yes, he saw it playing it over in his head and whatever. But how did that come together? Is he a psychic? Is that how this is work? I don't understand. But.
I kind of just took that one at face value. I didn't try to think of it as him being a psychic. Like, I just went...
He's not a psychic. But you... Can you do that? I mean, if it was like Rubber, a movie that we reviewed a couple weeks ago, and they're like, all right, none of this shit is going to make sense. If they gave themselves that out, I'd still have issues, but maybe I'd feel better going along with this nonsense.
Have that introduction. Guess what, guys?
I think any movie that Michael Bay direction...
Just have the guy come warning. Up to the trunk.
Yeah, warning. It's not going to make any sense.
We stopped paying writers halfway through.
But it felt forced. A lot of the quirk, like Douglas was saying, and a lot of the
you see, that's,
indiness.
That's my biggest problem. I think that should be a word. That's felt my biggest forced. Problem. The quirk felt forced because you could feel like there were scenes, like there was especially the one where she told him to meet him under the bridge or whatever where they first kissed.
You're right.
The blackmail kiss that they call it. You could see like she had this pose, and you could feel you could just imagine that before he came, she was standing there and she was like, okay, I should be in a certain pose when he shows up
The director said be in that pose.
No, yeah, but you imagine it as the real story behind it, not the director telling them this.
It felt like a lot of the scenes felt like director choices. It didn't feel organic in any way. It felt like the writer and the director were getting off on making this as indie as possible. One of our favorite movies for the last couple of 2 years with Cobra Commander and Zooey Deschanel. There was this scene where there was a lot of singing, right? And even as out of place as that was, it still felt organic to the story. It didn't draw any of us out of the story. We all enjoy that, right? And that was definitely, you could see where, oh, the director thought this would be cool, and so he put it in. But you still felt connected to everything else that was happening.
I still love the hand
in
solo
this movie. Yeah. Why is this you derail? In this movie, it all felt forced. That has what the director and writer came up with in that instance has never happened at any point anywhere except inside of one of their minds.
But at the same time,
let us kneel down and kiss and take pictures.
While it's not something I enjoyed, I feel that it fit what they were trying to do with the film, especially with like how Douglas started talking about how the film is kind of, even though it tapers towards the latter part of the movie, a character study on Oliver Tate. And throughout most of the narration, you can tell that this is a guy who he. What the hell? This is a guy who, where he tries to explain what he tries to express his feelings on what he sees around him as if he's in a film. And that's what happened with this movie, where he sees what's going on around him and it just looks like a film to him, which is why it looks like that to us. So he sees the girl and then he imagines that the director would have the girl in this pose. He thinks this girl has to have quirks, and because that's what's interesting about people, the quirks that they have, the differences, we're going to highlight those by saying she likes fire, she doesn't like to be in overly romantic places, so we're going to go to the industrial section of the world and pretend like it's lovely. And he'll write really long letters that don't really say anything, and at the end say I love you, and then it'll be perfect. It's crazy, it's unique, and at the same time I didn't like 1 minute of it.
How?
I wish I could just watch this trailer over again and enjoy it the way I enjoyed the trailer the first time I watched it, but no, I'm just going to watch it knowing that it was complete indie bait, and for future, all of those trailers which look indie bait that I pretend to want to watch, I'm going to doubt, and I hate this movie for doing that to me.
Did everyone like the movie? Douglas didn't like it. I hate it. And Damien also doesn't like it.
Damien refuses to enjoy the movie.
Right, on principle.
On principle. Just because...
Goddamn indie movies.
Goddamn.
I hate all of them. People keep writing about Meek's Cut Off, and I can't see it. I want that movie now.
About what?
Meek's Cut Off.
The movie which I call Argon's Trail.
Nice. Okay.
when they were lost in the desert.
I know what you're
and
talking
Meek
about.
And Meek is an
now.
Ass. That movie that so much. Everybody's like, this is the best movie I've ever seen.
So we look forward to the day we can see Meek's Cut Off, but unfortunately, we had to watch Submarine. So hopefully, you guys will tell us how you
actually wanted this movie to be good. Because it is in debate, and I want yeah. to see. I don't care if I'm a smug bastard.
I think all three of us were, you know.
Yeah, we liked that trailer.
We were hopeful. Like, it's in like my top 10 summer movies.
The
I
trailer
wanted to
definitely
watch.
Caught us on the hook, you know.
Right.
But we're just.
It was a trap.
So, as usual, you can find the podcast on gmanreviews.com. You can find it on iTunes and the podcast alley. Just search for Tump or the Unnamed Movie Podcast and you'll find it. You can find me on Twitter. I am gmanreviews. You can go to facebook.com/gmanreviews. And you search for me on Google Plus. I'm Andrew Robinson.
Is this good?
I tend to post shit from
it's
time
fun.
To time.
It's okay.
Douglas...
You can find me at Twitter. I am DJ R Lost His Name. By the way, I have a question. So, can I find the podcast on G-Man Reviews or can I find it at G-Man Reviews?
I like to think it's on, but you can work out the English because, you know, I'm not good at that stuff.
It sounds weird.
Damien is on Google Plus. Everyone find him and add him to your circle.
I'm on Google.
His name is Damien White.
White with a Y in white.
The H is still there though.
Damien White with a Y. In white. Oh really? Oh, not in Damien. There's no white Damien.
You never know.
Thanks. Someone thinks there's a white Damien, I don't want to be there. They're afraid anyway.
Damien, Y-O-N, that makes sense.
Of course.
So, thank you all for listening and good
night. Oh, D-A-Y-M-E-O-N.
No, E-I-O-N.
Oh, sorry. Of course. since there's no more Harry Potter sequels, will they do a prequel to Harry Potter? Ah, so good.
The story of the boy who was shot in the face.
Don't sweat. What the fuck are you talking? Didn't you see the first one? And you want a prequel to that?
Well, they did have to have sex.
Oh yeah, that's what we want to see in the wizarding world.
The 7 years of Snape and all
this. Keep talking nonsense. This is working out well.